This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about a boogie woogie, and I'm going to play one.
I'm Steve Vinson.
And I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news. Nothing you're about to hear is true.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Welcome to the show. This is the Paul and Steve ASMR episode, so. It's kind of funny, though, because a couple of things in the past couple of weeks. Oh, by the way, just so you all know, this is a meta show. This is the show about the show. So if you don't know us, you may not like this show. But if you do know us, you're going to love this show. And if you're one of the people that joins 3 years from now after we put out all that awesome content that we're working on right now, this is a show you're going to want to go back and listen to so you can be one of the cool kids. It's like one of those bonus behind the music episodes, right?
That's right.
So that's what's coming up. Before we get to that, the reason I opened with that funny ASMR thing, the funny ASMR thing is because
it's like your dog not want to take a pill. Then
it's funny you should say that. It works its way into the story in a minute. My oldest daughter discovered my Blue Yeti microphone, which is what I'm using right now. I'm not using my usual Audio Technica, I think they're called. I'm not using my usual podcasting microphone. I'm using the Blue Yeti for reasons which will become clear as well in a few minutes. But I'm using the one I used to use on the show starting a year or two ago up until about a year ago when I switched over to the Audio Technica. But anyway, it's an awesome microphone. So the microphone I'm using tonight is a super high-end, great microphone, especially for the price. It's a pretty good price microphone. Mm-hmm. It's really good. I learned in the past week it's called an ASMR microphone by people who are from age 14 to 19 or 22. Because apparently in every ASMR video, this is the microphone they're using. I talked to my daughter about it. She's like, oh, yeah, when they make it. By the way, if you don't know what ASMR is, for the listeners who don't know what ASMR is, it's an acronym. You can look it up. I don't know off the top of my head. But it's a type of video where there's a lot of whispering. That's right. And then there's a fair bit of tapping.
Mm-hmm. And lots of moist sounds.
Moist, like people going. And it's, I don't know, it's those noises that aren't annoying necessarily, but they do cause certain reaction in your body, sort of like the hair on the back of your neck to stand up and that kind of thing. A lot of people find it very relaxing, depending on the video. There are different types of ASMR videos, and some people find, you know, some different people find different ones a different kind of relaxing, I'll just say. Yeah. We used to call that, have other words for that, but come to find out.
I think I know where you're going with that.
A lot of the people that use this microphone, a lot of the people that make ASMR videos use this microphone, the one I'm using right now. I learned that because my daughter recently started making ASMR videos, right? For whatever reason. Nowadays, you can't just like something. You have to like it. Then you have to make something like the thing that you like, apparently. So she's been doing a lot of that lately. Okay, that's one thread. Another thread, and then I'm going to bring them together very shortly.
I have total confidence in you.
The other thread is, anyone who knows me knows that we are very unsecretly having some financial struggles right now. It's temporary. It's funny because I make plenty of money. It's just that we've gotten ourselves into a corner where we're spending way more than we make, and we owe way more than we're able to pay. So we're finding ways not only to save money, which, by the way, even if you don't need to save money, you go to Aldi. Because we kind of went to Aldi because we're like, well, let's go there. We're hearing good things about it. Plus, things are cheap. There's things there you can't get other places. Right. Anyway, go to Aldi. The other thing you can do, there's a Goodwill up in kind of the bougie neighborhood. Like if you're going to go to Goodwill to get some stuff, go to a good neighborhood Goodwill.
Yes.
Because that's where the bourgeois give their stuff away. Mm-hmm. Recently, my wife has been doing this a lot because I was like, hey, if you find some stuff worth something, buy it for, you know, $2.50. Sell it for $15 on Facebook Marketplace. How cool would that be, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, I'll give that a try. I like going to Goodwill anyway. And I know to go to the Goodwill and the good neighborhood. And she started doing that. She's messaging me like, I'm finding all this great stuff. And then she couldn't figure out why. And then she finally figured out why.
Hmm.
One of the number one Netflix shows right now is Marie Kondo and her decluttering thing. Have you heard about this?
Right? I never thought of that.
So there's this Marie Kondo who's all about decluttering, right? She's all about, like, if it doesn't spark joy, does that spark joy? Does that spark joy for you? If it does not spark joy, give it, think it. Think that object. Think that sock that you know. Think that pair of shoes you never wear. Think it. It doesn't spark joy. Give it away. Maybe it spark joy for somebody else.
If I followed that philosophy, there's days I'd be throwing my kids out the window.
Paul Dunn Marie Kondo'd his kids. So Marie Kondo has become a verb.
Yes.
And people talk about Marie Kondo-ing their shit, right? Well, it turns out it's a boon for Goodwill because people, especially in these bourgeois neighborhoods, are giving away all their good shit, right? So you can go to Goodwill, you can pick up some good shit for nothing, right? So apparently, my wife and the kids went to the Goodwill and they found like these multiple pairs of designer shoes with the platforms. You know, the platforms on the front, I'm trying to describe the shoes. You know the shoes.
Yeah.
They're like platform on the toe side and on the heel side and they're really tall, right?
Yep.
Sort of like stripper shoes, right? Only they're designer and they're size 12.
For the giant discerning stripper.
For the drag queen.
I thought that's what I said, but okay.
Okay. So apparently, there are these certain shoes that somehow my wife knows about that drag queens love.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly, I'm finding, like, I'll come home from work, and there'll be, like, half a dozen pairs of drag queen shoes sitting on the countertop, waiting for her to take the pictures so she can put them up on Facebook Marketplace. And I'm like, what? How come all of a sudden there's all these drag queen shoes in my house? I thought we were Marie Kondoing this place. Suddenly we're like reverse Marie Kondoing drag queen shoes into my house. She's like, well, we're going to flip them. We're going to make some money. It's going to be great. I'm like, all right, just make sure you flip these things. Because if you don't, I might start wearing them for myself. Because these are my size, and I might want to wear them.
I'm not going to let them go to waste.
So the other day, my daughter is making an ASMR video.
Uh-huh.
Don't breathe into the microphone. That's very annoying. So, guys, hi, guys. Apparently, you always have to say, hey, guys.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. So, video. And then, you know, behind her, the door opens. And when the door opens in my house, you always get that beep, 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 the alarm.
I really like this one because it is Jeffree Star.
And then you hear in the back,
hey, girls, I have more drag queen shoes.
That's just my mother.
Suddenly she's like, okay, that's my mom. She's been going to Goodwill. It's like suddenly she's explaining to her ASMR fans why it's awesome. She got the drag queen. All right. All of that was just to say this. I'm using a different microphone this week than I normally use.
I dated a girl who she could only sleep to ASMR audio. And the thing I discovered about it was she'd start playing it, and it wouldn't take long before I had to go to the bathroom. Because just
it made you want to pee?
Just that wet, watery fall sound that these people would make with their mouths. Like, oh, I gotta pee. Yes.
So there was another time she was making one, and she decided she would try to create her own genre.
Mm.
She got little Basil, Basil the Wonder Dog, and fed him peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like dog eating peanut butter ASMR. And I was like, how about dog hocking up a loogie ASMR?
Dude, that's spot on. Now I gotta pee.
I've been practicing. And that sound causes a visceral reaction to me. It makes me want to jump up, pick up an animal, and rush it out the door.
Do that where you hold it out in front of you and you're running with it.
Yes, yes. Something's about to throw up.
You're looking for any tile in your house. You're like,
right. Where's the hardwood floor? Tile, I don't give a shit. No carpet, anything but carpet. And there's always the, it's like, what are you doing? I've been to many, many college parties, and I've heard many people throw up, and it's always like, there's always relief, right? But I'd never hear, like ever. It's like once it comes past that layer, it's done. You're done with it. Okay. The reason I said all that is just so people know I'm using a different microphone. One of the reasons I'm using a different microphone is I've looked at, like, tonight. All right. I'm going through a lot of shit right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm being sued. I got a trial coming up. Really a little bit stressed about that. I'm a little bit emotional too, because I did a GoFundMe. Like, people came out of the woodwork sending me money, and I'm not comfortable with that. I'm very grateful and appreciative. It was super uncomfortable because I'm like, it would have fit in with my worldview much better and my own view of myself if nobody gave me anything, and I would be able to sit there and go, see, I told you it wouldn't work. And then I could be right. And I could feel good about myself, and we'd be fucked. But people did send us a bunch of money. I'm very grateful for that. Well, they didn't send us money. They sent money to another place that isn't us. But it allows us to have a lawyer. That's neither here nor there. It's just that I'm a little bit stressed. I looked at my shit tonight, and I was like, oh, I got to set my shit up. And I was like, why am I setting my shit up? I got this nice blue Yeti microphone. That I could just talk into. And it got me on this train of thought that I've been on for the past week or so, which is, what is happening right now with podcasting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, you and I are in year five. We're at about, we started in like November of 14.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're recording this now, it's March of
19. Mm-hmm.
So November, December, January, February, March. So we're like 4 years and 4 months into this, right? Which means we started it before. I'm going to say this with my eyes closed, but my eyebrows raised.
Yes.
We were doing podcasting before podcasting was cool. We were doing podcasting before any of you ever heard of podcasting.
Hey, what do you call a group of white guys?
What?
A podcast. Did I kill your momentum?
No, you didn't. I did. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. This is the meta part of the show. So we all knew podcasting was going to hit at some point. My prediction was once they figured out how to make it easy to listen to a podcast in your car, it was going to hit big. Well, about a year or so ago, and people can go back to the archives and listen. I've said it all on the show before.
Do it soon, though.
The car commercials, the features that they're coming out with in cars and stuff, they've been making it more and more easy to listen to stuff streaming from the internet, put it that way. Whether it's using your phone or using your you know, car with internet access or whatever. So podcasting is now starting to become big. And like anything that starts to become big, and if you don't believe me, just search that on the internet. Listenership has gone up in the past. And I'm not talking about like, oh, over the past 5 years, it's gotten really big. No, like in the last 6 months, the last 3 months, the number of people listening to podcasts has gone up 20%, 30%, 50%, depending on the time period you're talking about, which is might not sound like a lot until you realize that we're talking about a few million people every few months jumping on the podcast bandwagon. What we don't know is, what does that mean? What kind of stuff do they want to listen to? And when you hear everybody and their brother has a podcast and, oh, what do you call a group of white guys? Podcasts. What's happening is not only are a lot of people listening, but people listen and then they go, wait a minute. A few of my friends and I get together and we're funny, so we should have a podcast too. So then they jump on. It's a really weird time, and it's very similar to, and this is a theme in all my shows, like my life science effect shows, I do this, where I go, when the internet first started becoming a thing, like it was weird. It was like, what is it going to mean? What's going to happen? Who's going to make it big? What should I do now? I know the internet's going to be a big thing, but I don't know what to do to make it a big thing for me, you know? And fast forward, everybody who said the internet would change everything was right. Everybody who said people are going to get fabulously rich on it are right. They were right. The problem is nobody knew exactly what to do to get rich.
Right.
Right. Zuckerberg didn't know that what he was doing would make him rich. He was just like, I'm going to do this thing and we'll see what happens. Right. So it's the same with podcasting. All we knew 5 years ago when we started the show was we knew two things. One, we knew if we came up with a way to create something together, it would cause us to talk on a regular basis.
Yes.
Which is something we've wanted to do for years, decades, right?
Yeah, literally so decades.
So we knew that. And we said, if nothing else comes of it, you and I will talk on a regular basis. Turned out to be true, right? I mean, 5 years in, it's happening, right? It ain't going away.
No.
So we knew that for sure. The thing that we didn't know for sure, but we suspected was podcasting will become big at some point.
Yeah.
Now, back to our show.
And thank you, Paul, for going through all the trouble. I don't know what I was saying, but what I do know is the cord fell out of my microphone while I was recording. And it fits perfectly in with the point I was trying to make, which is this. Podcast is taking off, and it's really happening. And there's always this argument about what's more important, the audio quality or the content, or how do you use social media? How do you use advertising? What about sponsors? How do you get paid? Here's what I've learned over the past few weeks. It's what you and I have been saying for 4 fucking years. It has to sound good enough that it's not super annoying to people. And that it doesn't sound like you're sitting in the middle of a tin can.
Right.
So I have a list of things. 2, just like 20 years ago, just like 30 years ago, just like 115 years ago, content is king.
Yes.
The third thing is we're in a period of kind of chaos when nobody really knows what's going to happen.
It's an exciting time to be alive.
The fourth thing is just sitting there going, I'm going to start a podcast and I'm going to get rich by doing it. Never was going to be a thing, and it never will be a thing. So go back. Step one.
Cut a hole in the box.
Audio quality. Mm-hmm. So I've been listening to, obviously, other shows. Our show still sounds better than probably 70% of the shows out there.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And the 30% that we don't sound better than are like, you know, WNYC.
Yes. Super polished.
Radiolab polished, highly yep. produced ones.
Yep.
And when I say our shows, I'm talking about this show and the Life Science Effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a combination of we do pay attention to the equipment we use to record it in the rooms we're in mm-hmm. when we're recording. And we have a highly professional, highly practiced audio editor that puts our shows together.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
It's a combination of the two things.
Right.
The second thing was content.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the point you were making about white guys, like what do you call a group of white guys, podcasts, I think what you and I have learned over the course of 5 years will pay dividends to us continuing to be a podcast that people are interested in listening to.
Mm-hmm.
The thing we've learned is just because you're funny when you and your friends get together doesn't mean you're going to have a funny, interesting podcast.
Right.
It takes planning. It takes writing. It takes preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that we counted as part of our charm was the fact that we didn't prepare.
It shows.
I love that, but it shows, right? And so those shows that we made then will be super popular once we become a podcast people like listening to, right?
Right. Here's my theory about podcasts or the direction podcasts are going to head towards. Podcasts, in the end, are going to go the way of YouTube. There have been big YouTubers. They started on YouTube or they started doing Vines. Then they got their YouTube channels, and they're big. They're a force to be reckoned with. But now on YouTube, there are a lot of movie and TV celebrities who have glommed onto it and are posing as YouTubers and getting millions of views. I think the same thing is going to happen with podcasts. Anybody can make a podcast. Obviously, we're living proof.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that are going to eventually be the ones that reach the height of height, but yet also kind of destroy it, are going to be when the big name celebrities decide to start doing them. And they are. Little by little, comedians have been doing it. And I'm not talking about guys who, like your Adam Carolla, who's like the biggest one there is, basically.
Joe Rogan and Bill Burr have surpassed those guys.
But there will be a group of non-celebrity podcasters who will still be doing it. And they'll be as big as those guys. The rest of us will have moved on to whatever the next thing is to try to figure out a way to get heard without being buried by all these other guys.
I completely agree with your assessment. And it's why I would never try to learn about podcasting from an Adam Carolla or a Joe Rogan or, you know, Bill Burr. It's because for those guys, podcasting is just another way to connect with their fans.
Yes.
They're already celebrities. They yeah. already have a following. And so their podcasts are just like, hey, you already like me. Why don't you come listen to my podcast?
Yeah.
It's similar to the beginning of the internet,
mm-hmm.
which is people said, oh, it's just another channel to the customer. So the first people who had huge websites were companies that already had a bunch of people who knew who they were, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can't figure out the future of podcasting from people who are already famous using podcasts as another way to connect to their audience. It's why I say don't pay attention to the NPR podcasts. As yeah. much as I love Freakonomics, Radiolab, and those,
mm-hmm.
those aren't the ones that you should model your show after.
Yeah.
Because they were already radio shows, and they still are radio shows. A podcast is just another way to make it on demand.
It's a bit like Patreon. I watched a bunch of videos by artists who were explaining how to make your Patreon work for you, how to get people to donate to your Patreon. And I swear to God, these guys, their first rule of thumb for starting a Patreon is first develop a following.
Yeah.
Like, but I wouldn't need your fucking Patreon if I had a following.
Right. So that gets to, I think it was either 3 or 4 in my 4-point. I'd make a horrible communist dictator. I'd be like, here's my 4-point plan.
As opposed to the good communist dictators.
1, take over the country. 2, put me in charge. 3, fuck. 4, do you remember what 4 is? I forget what 4 was for. No, so I think it was either 3 or 4. It was the making money part. So there's this one guy, Daniela Bellelli, who does a history podcast,
mm-hmm.
which I really like.
Yeah.
He does about 12 shows a year, which is an insane amount because he's a full-time history professor.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he does his podcast. Like, I think about my softcore history ones, and I always go, well, it takes me a lot of time to sit down, research, and then write it, and then edit it, and then think about the story. How does the story want to go? And it's only like 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
He puts out about 12 shows a year that are an hour to an hour and a half each.
Mm-hmm.
Super researched, super, like, the story is really good. He has all his little humor in there. They're really, really good. And then you find out, oh, by the way, he also has a full-time job, and he trains in jiu-jitsu, and he's married. And it's like, what am I doing? But so he recently announced that he cannot keep doing that. He had sponsors and stuff. He has a lot of listeners, and he had sponsors. He had like a lot of sponsors. Like, a lot of his show was advertisement, right? To the point that I would just skip past it.
Yeah.
Which probably explains why he can't make the money, you know, because everybody's skipping past all of his ads.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I just can't keep doing this, you know, for free. So he joined this service called Luminary, which is a new company that has gotten people, like, a lot of people you'd recognize. I didn't really recognize them, but apparently they're famous people, to sign on to their service. It's a subscription podcast service. So it's like Hulu or Netflix, but for podcasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's $7.99 a month. Nobody can fucking just say $8, right? It's $7.99 a month, and you get all these exclusive podcasts that you can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me was like, ah, damn it. Like, now I can't listen to this guy if I sign up for this yet another. Like, I already have Hulu and all this stuff.
Yeah.
That was my joke about, hey, kids, we're canceling Hulu so Daddy can sign up for Luminary. And so I had a little bit of a Twitter interaction with him, and I get where he's coming from. He's like, the ads weren't paying me enough to mm-hmm. continue working 15-hour days, and I feel like this Luminary service has a bunch of money, and they're paying people enough that they can now hire people to do the production, to do some of the research, and just all of the other shit that goes, you know, you and I both know, with the life science effect. There's a lot of work that has to go into making these shows, right?
Yes.
And so my approach is to get the presenting sponsor, and once I build the audience up enough, I'll get some more sponsors, and I can hire some more people to help me. But my concern is this, is that what if, like, the whole podcasting world becomes like a Netflix kind of world as opposed to a YouTube kind of world,
mm-hmm.
where the only place people get their podcasts is these subscription services?
You're probably onto something there.
But at the same time,
mm-hmm.
there's another thing I realize.
Hmm.
We don't need 1 million listeners. And we've said this from day one.
Yeah.
We don't need 1 million, 2 million listeners. We don't need even 100,000 listeners. Shit. Right now, if we had 100, I'd be pretty fucking happy. And so we have 9. So somewhere between 9 and 20. And so the conclusion I've come to is this. The reason we don't have more than 9 to 20 listeners is because those 9 to 20 listeners like what they hear and they keep coming back and they enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's because they know us and they like us and they find it funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't find it funny enough to think that their friends who don't know us would like it.
Right.
They don't find it interesting enough to say, this is the kind of thing that my friend at work or at school or my buddy in the neighborhood, I like it, but I don't think he would like it because it's too nuanced or it's too weird. You know, it's too, they'd be embarrassed, basically, is what I'm saying. Which is why I posted what I posted the other day. I don't, from this point until Christmas, or maybe Halloween, I don't care if anybody shares it, right? I don't expect anyone to share it. But we're putting enough work in to the Christmas special, and I imagine we'll get going on the Halloween one probably pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm working on it. My research is almost done to where I can start working on it.
And we're going to put the kind of work into those shows that you don't have to know us to like them.
Right.
To me, it gets back to the content is king.
Mm-hmm.
We have great personalities. We have great connections with our friends. I think our personalities come through in the show. That's all great, but it's not going to get us to the 100 or 200 or 1,000 listeners that we would like to have.
Right.
And we talked a few months ago about, let's bring on a third person. Let's bring on a partner who knows how to do the social media thing and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I still think we need that. And would it be great to have that?
Yeah.
But you know what? You don't, and I don't have the time to find that person, right?
Yeah.
So in the meantime, what do we have time? Well, it isn't even that we have the time. We have the desire and the passion and the energy to work on this Valiant Force story.
Right.
I mean, I hope people like it enough to send it to a friend who doesn't know us.
To go like, you like horror stories? Here's one. Oh, you like, everybody loves the fucking 80s. Listen to this. That's what I'm hoping for.
Me too. So on LinkedIn, what they say is your networking should not focus on your first level connections. It should focus on your second level connections. Don't network with your friends. Network with your friends' friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is there's a lot of psychology behind it. But they're basically saying you want your story to be interesting to people who don't know you. That having been said, is there anything else that you would like to have had said?
Why is there an ASMR category on porn sites?
I didn't know there was, and fuck you for telling me.
Now you have a new thing.
No, I don't. I have a new thing to avoid. Welcome to the coffee shop. Thanks for coming in today. Can I help you? Yes. Yes, I would like to come behind the counter. Thank you. Okay, come here. That's what you call a crossover episode, folks. All right. Well, for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard was true. Was true. Was true. Was true.
That's what we keep inside. That's what we keep inside. Sometimes, Mouse, you think you know people, and then
You don't? Then you wonder, have I met them before? But it doesn't matter. You're just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.